Ever heard done before. I'm going to preach a Lord's Supper message from 2 Samuel, all right? So I want you to go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23. 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. We've been, we've gone through the book of 2 Samuel, and we've just got chapter 23 is where we had left off, and we've gone through this book here at Crossroads, and we've just got a little bit of chapter 23 and then 24 left, and we finished the book. And it just so happened that we're in chapter 23, verses 8, 9, and 10. And beginning in verse 8, we have a list there of David's mighty men. King David's, they're called his mighty men. And these were the men who fought for King David, and they were valiant in battle, and the Bible mentions them. There's 37 of them in all. And verse 9 mentions one of the men, and his name is Eliezer. This man caught my attention. Look at verse 9. It says there, we'll go up to verse 8 here, and we'll kind of get the context. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adno the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. Folks, I don't make this stuff up, all right? I look these words up. I look them up in the Bible dictionary, and that is Dodo, is how you say that. That is the right pronunciation, all right? It's I mean, doo-doo isn't much better, but Dodo? What do you think we should name him, honey? I like Dodo. I don't know. Anyway, Dodo the Ahohite. Would it give you a complex if your mom and dad named you Dodo? I don't know. You ever heard the expression, he's a Dodo head, you know? Anyway, one of the three mighty men with David, so Eliezer. And then notice this, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He, Eliezer, arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil, to get all the stuff, you know, that they took from battle. So Eliezer, the Bible says he defied the Philistines. Who were the Philistines? They were the archenemy of God's people, the Philistines. They're bad folk. And the Bible says that he defied them. The word defied means to pull off. It means to expose as by stripping. Eliezer exposed the Philistines. He stripped them of their power, and he stripped them of their authority. Of course, today we know that the Christian's enemy is the devil. The Bible says the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan roars as a lion. He attempts to intimidate God's people. But like Eliezer, believers today can defy our enemy. Just as he defied his enemy, we can defy Satan. That is, we can expose Satan for who he really is, and we can overcome him. We can expose him for who he really is, and we can overcome him. We can defy Satan. You say, Pastor, how can I do that? After all, Satan is wise and powerful, and he was once the anointed cherub of God. I'm just a human being. Well, praise God, I got great news for you. We are here to celebrate the fact the victory's already been won. You can defy the devil just as he defied the Philistines, because the victory has already been won. Jesus Christ defied Satan. You see, he's overcome Satan through his cross work, which we're going to celebrate tonight, and his glorious resurrection from the dead. And if we know Christ, he lives in us. And we simply walk in the victory that he's already wrought. Now, how did Eliezer defy the Philistines? Well, I want to examine that tonight. And I want to make application. And I want us to see how that Christ has defied Satan and how that we in turn can defy Satan on a daily basis. Three simple principles. I'm going to hit them quick. The first one is this. If we're going to defy Satan, that is, if we're going to defy him, remember, defy means to expose. If we're going to expose him for who he really is, and I know, Brother Shannon, man, that's what you're trying to do in the addictions ministry. You're trying to defy Satan, aren't you, in people's lives? That is, expose him for who he really is, right? Strip him of his power and authority in people's lives. Because the only way he can take that power and authority is if we give it to him. Aren't you glad Christ has wrought the victory tonight? And the first principle, though, is if we're going to defy Satan on a daily basis, is you must be willing to stand. You got to be willing to stand. You have to be willing to stand. In verse 9, it says that Eliezer, notice, it says, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and notice, I want you to notice this, and the men of Israel were gone away. Now follow that. When the Philistines gathered together to battle, the men of Israel were fearful and fled. It was easier to flee, teenagers. Great to have them in here tonight. It was easier to flee than it was to stand. It's easier to flee than it is to stand. And you know, it's not always easy to stand. Teenagers, you know that, right? It's not always easy to stand, is it? I was so proud of my youngest son, Caleb, last night. We had our last baseball game, and it's a rec league, a city league. And Caleb, after the game — we lost the game, by the way — but Caleb came up to me afterwards. He said, "Dad," he said, "I invited three guys on the team to come to teen church, and he said all three of them told me they were going to come." And I said, "Caleb, I'm so proud of you." And then we got to talking about how that so many of the boys, you can tell they don't come from homes that where they know about God. I mean, just the filth that comes out of their mouth, just the filth. And I was so proud because Caleb, again, when we were talking about that, he said, "Yeah." He said, one of the guys in the dugout, he used God's name in vain. And he said, I looked at him and I said, "You better not curse God." I said, "Did you really?" He said, "Yeah." I told him, "You better not curse God." I said, "Well, what did he do?" He went, oh, I wasn't. And I thought, you know what? Praise God for teenagers who will stand up for something. Who will stand up for something that they believe in. Amen. Sometimes it's easier to flee than to stand. Sometimes it's easier to blend in than it is to stand. I want you to notice Eliezer arose, and the Bible says in verse 10, what does it say? It said he arose and what? Smote the Philistines. You know what that guy did? Eliezer is called one of the mighty men because he stood there alone. He stood there outnumbered. But he took a stand and he held his ground. Now that reminds me of another man called Jesus. When Jesus was betrayed and Jesus was being led away out of the garden, the Bible says all the disciples forsook him and fled. Just as Eliezer stood there alone because all Israel fled, Christ stood there alone because the disciples forsook him and fled, the Bible says. And Christ was left there to stand alone. We know that even the Father in heaven had to turn away as Christ was made sin for us on the cross. He hung on that cross, which we celebrate tonight, the bread representing his broken body and that juice representing his blood. And there he He shed his blood. There his blood poured out on that cross. And there his body was smote on that cross. And he hung on that cross there, atoning for our sin, all alone. All alone. Had he not stood alone, our souls would have no hope. Our souls would be bound for an eternal hell. But there Christ stood on that day on that cross, and there he defied the devil. I want you to know that what we're celebrating tonight on that cross, that Christ was not a martyr. Christ was not some martyr that was up there. No, I want you to know that there was a man that was openly defying Satan on that cross. The Bible says that. Look at Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 up here on the screen. Can we bring it up? For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Christ, also himself took part of the same. He took our flesh and blood. Why did he do that? That through death, he might, what? Ha ha, you see that? He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. If Jesus was able to stand that day, if he was able to openly defy the devil, think about it, now he lives in us. That means that we too can stand. That means that we too can defy the devil, but we've got to be willing to stand in Christ's power. I want you to look at the screen again and look at Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God. Man, you've got a responsibility. You've got the power. You have the armor. You have it all. But you got to be willing to put it on that ye may be able to what? Stand. There's that word again. Eliezer stood against the Philistines. Christ stood that day and defied the devil. Now he lives in us and we can stand. The Bible says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to say it loud, to what? Stand. Stand. If we're going to defy the enemy, Satan, let's take a lesson from Eliezer and from Christ. You got to be willing to stand. Sometimes you got to stand alone. Teenagers, I said sometimes you got to stand alone, but you got to be willing to stand. The second principle I want to give you, if you're going to defy the devil, you must remain faithful while weary. In verse 10, it says, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. Eliezer has this sword in his hand, right? And man, I just know that, where's Brian at? Brian, are you here? Brian Danford, where are you at? Brian, is Brian here? Okay, I don't know, he may be doing security. He was here earlier, I know he was here. Is Xander here? Xander, are you here? Is Xander here tonight? I don't see Xander either. Okay, forget that illustration, all right. That one just went right down the tubes, didn't it? What I was going to bring up is that Xander Danford's been doing fencing, you know, with swords, and he's been going to fencing classes and all that. And you know, here's Eliezer, he's got this sword in his hand, right? And the Bible says that he smote the Philistines until his hands were weary. Yet the Bible says, even though his hand was weary, that his hand clave unto the sword. You know, it's almost as if it was on there and he had it so tight and he was wielding it so much that it was like the grip was on there. Probably when the battle was over, they probably had to pry his hand off of that sword because it was on there, locked so tight. When it says his hand was weary, that word weary means exhausted. It means to tire. Can't you just picture him? He's all by himself. And he's standing there in God's power, and he's weary, and he's exhausted, but he's faithful. And I thought, man, that reminds me of our Savior. The soldiers tried to wear Christ down. I'm telling you, they tried to wear him down. And the reason they were trying to wear him down is so they could get him to admit that he was not the Son of God. They were trying to wear him down. And he went through unthinkable torture. As we celebrate the Lord's table tonight, I want to remind you of the spiritual work that he did on that cross and the spiritual pain. certainly is the focus, and it's certainly what saves us. But let's not forget that in order for him to accomplish what he did spiritually, he had to remain faithful while just physically weary and exhausted. I mean, they took Christ and they spit on him. The Bible says that they stripped him. They mocked him. I mean, you guys know what it's like to get one little briar out here. You ever get one of them little briars in your finger or down in your foot? You know, or you ever get a splinter in you? And man, that thing gets sore and it hurts, you know? Imagine taking big old long thorns, making a crown out of them, and then cramming it down on his head, and the blood just pouring down his face. Imagine the pain. We know what one little briar feels like. A whole crown of thorns mashed down into your skull. Whew. The Bible says they beat him on the head with a reed. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails. Just ripped open his skin. The Bible says that they plucked his beard out of his face. They took him then and they nailed him to the cross. They drove nails through his flesh. So, and they nailed him up on that cross. The soldiers and the demons of hell, Satan himself, were all watching to see how he would respond, what would happen. The Bible says that at any moment he could have called 10,000 angels to come and deliver him, and they would have. I want to remind you, Jesus was human. He was fully God, but he was fully man. Therefore, I want you to know he felt the pain. And I want you to know he felt the weariness. He felt the insults and the mockery. The Bible says, in fact, his humanity shows in that he's carrying that cross up Golgotha's hill and he can't make it all the way. And so they have to get some guy, not Simon Peter, he's already fled, but Simon, some guy named Simon, they get him and he's got to carry the cross the rest of the way up the hill. But yet Christ did not quit. The Bible says he remained faithful. He was faithful to the end. Matthew 27:42 on the screen, it says they mocked him up on that cross and they said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him." Himself he cannot save. And you know what? There is an element of truth in that, isn't there? He could not save himself. But it wasn't because he lacked the power to do it. It's because his love would not allow him to save himself. It was his love. The Bible says he loved us and gave himself for us. It was his love is the reason why he wouldn't come down from the cross. It was his love for the Father, and it was his love for us. And it was his determination to do the Father's will that he could not come down from the cross. Himself he cannot save. Right. He will not save himself in selfishness, but rather he'll stay on that cross because of his love and his faithfulness to you, to me, and to the Father. As Christ was hung on that cross, it looked as if Satan had won that day. And in reality, Jesus openly defied and defeated Satan. He stripped Satan of his power and authority. He stripped him of the power of death. He stripped the demons of hell of their power. He took the keys of death and hell that day. Why? Because he remained faithful while weary. Now I wonder, how about you today? Eliezer was faithful. Man, the guy stood. He stood alone. Christ stood alone. Eliezer was faithful even though he was weary. Christ was faithful when he was weary. And I wonder today, maybe you're weary. Maybe you feel like quitting. Maybe you feel like giving up. Satan and his world system out there, it will wear you down. Just like they tried to wear Christ down to get him to admit he wasn't the Son of God. The world system out there will wear you down. It will get you weary. They want you to quit. Teenagers, they want you to quit. They want you to throw in the towel. They want you to pack it in. But I want you to remember that Christ the Victor lives in us. We have to trust Him. We have to trust His victory if we are going to defy Satan. The Bible says up here on the screen, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and what? Gave Himself for me. And based on that principle, the fact that Christ lives in me, later on in the book, you know what Paul says? Let's bring it up. Galatians 6:9, later on. Based on the fact Christ, the Victor, lives in you and He was faithful when He was weary, based on that, he says later on, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we what, church? Faint not. And when you feel like quitting, I'm going to tell you right now the remedy. When you feel like quitting in your walk with God, when you feel like quitting reading your Bible, you feel like, man, I'm going to quit giving, and I'm going to quit going to church, and I'm going to quit serving, and I'm tired, and I'm weary, and let somebody else do it. When you feel that way, this is what you need to do right here. Let's bring it up. Looking unto who? You need to meditate on Christ. I'm telling you. You've got to meditate on Christ. That's the only thing that will bring you out of despair. That's the only thing that will help you to be faithful when you're weary, is you have got to look unto Jesus. You have got to meditate on Him and what He has done. The Bible says He's the author and He's the what? I love that next word. He's the what? Finisher. Yes, He's the finisher of our faith. He's the reason why we can be faithful. We look unto Him as He's the finisher. Man, I tell you what a shame to live your life unto Christ for 10 or 15 or 20 years or 25 years or 30 years and then quit and not be faithful, not be a finisher. You know, that's a shame. Some of you teenagers, man, I tell you, it's great to have you in here tonight. And some of you are faithful and you're in junior high school, but will you be a finisher? Are you going to stay faithful through 9th grade and 10th grade and 11th grade and 12th grade? And then so many drop off then when they go to college and they quit. And will you be faithful? Will you be a finisher? When you think about quitting, think on Jesus. He's the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, and then that next phrase, I love it, He endured the cross. Didn't say He enjoyed it. It says He endured it. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then I love the next phrase. For what? There it is. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Now, why do I need to think on Him? Why do I need to meditate on Him? Why do I need to look unto Him? Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And that's where it starts, is in the mind. You quit in the mind before you ever quit church. And people see it. You know what I mean? You quit here before you ever quit outwardly. You faint in your mind. Satan's attack is on the mind. The third principle I want to give you from Eliezer is this. If we want to defy our enemy, we have to be willing to stand, even if it means standing alone. We learn from Eliezer, number two, that you must remain faithful while weary. And number three, you must find your victory through the Lord. It's got to be through the Lord. Verse 10, it says, He arose and smote the Philistines until His hand was weary, and His hand clave unto the sword. He wouldn't quit. But then look at the next phrase. It says, And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after Him only to spoil. Who wrought the victory that day? He did it through who? Eliezer. On Calvary, which we're about to celebrate Calvary here, I love the Lord's Supper. I love this. It's so special. We're going to celebrate what Christ has done. You see, on Calvary, God the Father and God the Son wrought a great victory that day. A person may have been looking and say, they may say, well, but He died. What do you mean He wrought a victory? He died! Yes, He did. But there he was dying for our sins and making a complete payment for our sins. And after he made that payment for sins, oh man, woo! After he made that payment for sins, and Christ is, or the devil's thinking, he's dead! He's gone! What's the first two words of verse 10? Woo! That's good application, amen. Praise God, I'm glad those two words are in verse 10. He arose. Man, what a picture Eliezer is of Christ. You see Christ all through the Bible in picture form. And Eliezer, what a picture. This man was willing to stand alone. This man stood when he was weary. This man found his victory through the Lord. And it says he arose. Christ defied Satan. Christ won a great victory over death and hell and the grave. And just like Eliezer, received victory through the Lord. Man, there's only one way you're going to receive victory over Satan. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, if you're not saved, tonight, man, if you want victory over death and hell and the grave, you got to go to the one who has already fought that battle and won it. And that's Jesus Christ. If you're saved tonight, there's only one way for you to defy the devil on a daily basis, and that's through Christ. The same place that you receive victory for your salvation is the same place you go for your daily victory, Jesus Christ. I want you to look at the end of verse 10, and boy, one more nugget for you. Look at the end of verse 10. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. The people, now get this one. This is a nugget. The people received the spoils of Eliezer's victory. They didn't fight. They simply rested in, and they were the beneficiaries of the victory he won. Now you know where I'm going with that, don't you? Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." We have received the spoils of Christ's victory. We had nothing. I did nothing to procure those heavenly blessings for myself. I get them because I'm in Christ, and he won the victory. And just as Eliezer won the battle and the people were beneficiaries of the battle, he won. Tonight, you and I are the beneficiaries, if we're saved, of the victory that Christ won on the cross. We get the spoils of the victory. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Tonight, I hope that your desire is to defy the devil. I hope you want to defy Satan on a daily basis. Expose him for who he is. Overcome him. And tonight, if your desire is to defy the devil, number one, you must be willing to stand, sometimes alone. You must remain faithful while weary. You can't quit. And then we said you must find your victory through the Lord. I hope your desire tonight is to do just that. Let's be a people that go out and defy our enemy as Eliezer defied his enemy.